All right, go ahead and get over it. Again. Again. Yes, again. Now, before I even go to the next slide, I'm going to tell you that this next slide and the content I'm going to cover today could be very sensitive content. And before you pick up the stones, now we're going to laugh now, and that's okay. Before you pick up the stones to stone me, listen to me all the way to the end. Don't jump to a conclusion before I get there. Okay? Because I know this is a sensitive point. I know this is a challenging point. But please don't jump and go, well, I think he's saying we don't do that at all. And I'm not saying that. Okay? So stones away for now. Here we go. In Yeshua's name. This is the most popular way for believers today to end, for most of them, every single prayer. Every single prayer would be ended with this common phrase. Right? Now, what's intriguing in that is, why do we end every prayer this way? Why? Now, as we look at the scripture, we'll get to this later, but did any of the prophets ask for prayer in Yeshua's name? No. Psalmists? No. David? No. Most of the prophets? No. And I'll even show you later that there are prayers to the disciples that they didn't end all of their prayers with it either. So why? Why? Well, the answer comes from John. In three chapters of John. Okay? Again, don't jump on a conclusion. I haven't said anything yet. Just questions. So John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Okay? This is one of the three ways it's stated. Whatever you ask for in my name. Now, what's intriguing is, what did Yeshua teach on prayer? You see, what's interesting here is that Yeshua has a specific chapter and section where he taught us how to pray. They asked him, how do we pray? Right? Now, it's actually a multiple of the Gospels. I'm going to use Matthew's version. It's 6, 9 to 13. Yeshua said, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And I want you to hold on to that idea that his is the power. Okay? Now, he just taught us specifically about prayer and how to pray. So here's some things to consider. First of all, most believers end every prayer with Yeshua's name, something he did not teach when teaching on prayer. You would think, by what's used today, that Most believers today, it's the one thing we all share in Yeshua's name. And yet, he never taught us when he was teaching on prayer to say that. Now, what's also intriguing is most believers use little of the prayer taught by Messiah in everyday prayer. So it's a reversal. That which he taught, we use little of. That which he didn't teach, again, he's being specific. I'm going to teach you how to pray. Why would he omit that? Why is it more popular to do that which he did not teach and not as popular to do that which he taught? How many Gospels have Messiah teaching us to ask for things in his name? And you're going to find that really only one. Now that should also start and put a little point, and you're like, wait a minute, Rabbi, are you saying that if it's written in there, we should question it? If it's written in one gospel, you should question it. Why isn't it in all the rest? If it's that important, why wasn't it mentioned in all the other gospels? Now again, please, 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 I can start to see concerning eyes. Wait till I get there. I'm just giving forewarning. It's the aboding feel. Foreboding feel I'm supposed to be passing on at this point. Okay? How many prayers in the Old Testament are prayed in Yeshua's name? Here's the bigger question. How many were answered? All of them. When they came to Mount Sinai, and Yahweh said, I'm not going with you. And Moses goes up to intercede for the people. And he prays, blot me out of your book. If you're not going to go with us, blot me out complete. I just don't want to even, just blot me out to save them. Did he answer his prayer? He did answer his prayer, and he did go with them. Now, he didn't answer the prayer blotting his name out. Now, wait a minute. He didn't use this phrase. Now, my real concern and my caution are for the believers who don't think about prayer. They're just praying as they've been taught. Here are my concerns, okay? Numbers 33, 51, and 52. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you've crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you shall drive out the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, demolish all their high places. What he's saying here is go into all their sanctuaries, the way they worship their gods, and make sure there's nothing left. Okay? Now, he reiterates this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess serve their Elohim. On the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their Elohim and destroy their names from that place. And we'll get back to the point. What does it mean, destroy their name? Now again, don't jump to conclusions. Deuteronomy 12:4, you shall not worship Yahweh your Elohim in such things. You will not worship me that way. Is what he's saying. You're going to destroy it completely because you're not going to worship me the way they worship their Elohim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a prayer to a god in Egypt. If you go surfing the web, you can find multiple prayers to the gods in Egypt. I don't want to spend a huge amount of time reading in here, but You go through provider of the clean water, Elohim dis, and I guess that's the female of it. The rainstorm floods fill our deserts, clouds, water, rain. Lo, O Elohim dis of the seven rivers, your origin is a mystery. Grant us water from the divine waterfalls, the garden of our Elohim. I say this in the name of Horus, Michael, the Christ, justified and eternal. Let me just read that last line again. I say this in the name of Horus, Michael, the Christ, justified and eternal. Now, are there any traditions in the nations that deal with asking in the name of their Elohim? Well, Egypt has them, Greece has them, and Rome has them. Now, let me explain real quick. And you can actually go through and do some research on this. What all three cultures say is that every deity has a secret name. For example, Horus would have a secret name. Zeus would have a secret name. It is not the actual name everybody knows. It's a secret name, a secret identity. And many of the stories that deal with those gods deal with someone finding out, like one of the gods finds out one of the other gods' secret name, and then they have power over that god to basically turn them into a puppet. Okay? Many of them, as long as you know the secret name, you can ask them with their secret name and they have to obey you. That's Egypt. That's Greece. That's Rome. That is the world today. Most believers, and I'm not pointing at you, most believers today think if I say in Yeshua's name, that's going to get me what I asked for. Now, to me, what's incredible about Yahweh is that when Yahweh went into Egypt, he could have revealed his secret name at any point in history. Prior to going into Egypt, he reveals to Moses, I am Yahweh, he who was and is to come. This is my name, my special name. In fact, it's his secret name. Here's what's intriguing. He's going into Egypt. He's telling them, oh, you of Egypt, you who think secret names have power over me, I'm telling you my secret name, but you know what? I'm still going to go through with my will. Just because you know my name means nothing to me. Nothing. Asking in a secret name of the Elohim is the power over the Elohim. That's what it equals. Asking in a secret name of the Elohim, my will be done, is what's thought. So some believers will have their list. I got my Ferrari, my mansion, maybe a Harley. I'm not sure what kind of person you are, but you never know. But the question of this is the thought back then was that you could get your will done if you knew the secret name. And you asked in it. Now, what does the scripture teach us about the phrase in the name? That's important because if Yeshua said, ask for this in my name, then in the name, if it has an actual meaning, understanding that has been taught from Genesis forward, then that would help us understand what he was trying to teach us. So Exodus 5:23 says this, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people, neither have you delivered your people at all. Moses speaking, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name. He's speaking to Yahweh. I've come to Pharaoh. Now this is where we have to understand. I want you to imagine at this moment, let's say Israel sent a delegation to the United States, just a single person from Israel, not specifically the prime minister, just someone to be a delegate. The president has to actually greet them as if he were greeting the prime minister. If a king sent a messenger, you had to greet the messenger as if the king were coming into your house. Okay, so the point here, I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, is the idea of a seal. Someone's put a seal on a document and you go, yep, that's definitely, it could be today, it's our signature. People try and forge them, but our signature is our seal. Exodus 9:16. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and my name may be declared in all the earth. Now hold on to this thought, that his name and his power are connected. Okay? Exodus 23:31. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. This is speaking of the angel that's going to lead them through the wilderness. For my name is in him. Deuteronomy 18:5. For Yahweh your Elohim has chosen him out of all your tribes to stand to minister in the name of Yahweh, him and his sons forever. And he's speaking of Levi. To minister in his name. Okay? Psalm 118:11-12. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of Yahweh, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns, and in the name of Yahweh, I will destroy them. So remember I talked about there's power and his name are linked together? Name equals authority. Yahweh is giving Moses the authority and the power to go in Egypt to do what he's asked him to do. Yahweh's given Levi the power and authority to go forth and do the job he's asked him to do. To be in the name means in the authority, like that Yahweh has given a declaration, I want this done, and now you're taking that declaration and actually doing it. That's what in the name means. Now, examples in the Newer Testament. Acts 4:29-30. Now Yahweh, look on these threats and grant your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and the signs and the wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Yeshua. Now, let's throw in, put it back, that the signs and wonders may be done through your authority of your holy servant, Yeshua. Through his authority, through his seal, his confirmation. Acts 3:6-8. This is a very popular one. Then Peter said, silver and gold I have none. But such as I have given thee, in the name of Messiah Yeshua of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising Elohim. In the authority of Yeshua our Messiah. Now still hold on to that. All right, so what does it mean to be in his authority? What it means is that Yeshua finished his work, but someone has to continue his work. So Yeshua has to have this stamp or seal for people to go, oh, that's Yeshua continuing what he was doing. And that would be done, you would know it's his seal because the same miracles and wonders would be accomplished in his authority. The authority given to Messiah by who? By Elohim. And notice who they are praising when they walk into the temple. Now, I'm just giving two verses from Acts to show two different prayers. This is post-Yeshua saying it, neither of which they pray in Yeshua's name. This is Acts 1:24 and 25. And they prayed and said, "You, O Yahweh, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." That was their prayer. They're choosing someone to take the 12th place, the 12th disciple. You think this would be awfully important, and if it was so important, and we always use this phrase, why isn't Peter using it here? Why isn't he using it? Acts 9:40. But Peter put them all out, and he knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. This is an incredible wonder. Incredible miracle. Did Peter have to say in Yeshua's name here? No. Tabitha, arise. She did. Luke 10:17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Rabbi, Master, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." This is Yeshua. Okay? But remember we read in Psalms, even though I'm completely surrounded, in your name they'll be all destroyed? Right? Matthew 10:1. This is where the authority was given, by the way, to disciples. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them what? Power, authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He gave them authority. In that, so the reality is, of course, they're going to sit back and go, well, that authority, we want the entire world to know where that authority came from, and it came from Yeshua. Thus Yahweh, correct, but from Yeshua. Or maybe the better word is through Yeshua, correct? Now again, don't jump to conclusions yet, I'm not done. Matthew 21:9. Listen to this. Then the multitudes went before those who cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh." This is what was spoken of Yeshua as he entered Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the authority of Yahweh. They repeated this over and over again. Now, you might sit back and go, well, maybe Yeshua agreed with it or not. Well, Matthew 23, he quotes it. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and I say to you, you will see me no more until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.'" Blessed is he who comes in the authority of Yahweh. Now, why were they killing the prophets and stoning them? Because they had authority from Yahweh, and they didn't like the words they were hearing. It wasn't their will. It was Yahweh's will, and they were fighting against it. This is probably where the phrase, you know, "kill the messenger" came from, or at least that idea. Now, I want to close out today, and I'm not closing, so don't get too excited. I want to close out today by actually looking at the John verses in context. I would like Yeshua to speak to us right now through these words to teach us what he meant in regard to in his name. Okay? And they're in there. All we're going to do is follow through them. Okay? So I'm going to start with John 5, 43 to 47. This is Yeshua speaking. I have come in my Father's name or authority, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. But how can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from only Elohim? Do you think that I shall accuse you to the Father? There is no one accuses you. Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believe Moses, should you also believe in me, for he wrote about me. But if you not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Okay? Now, by the way, put in context, what did Moses speak about him? He said there would be a prophet like what? Moses. And he would speak my words. Now, my words, by the way, Yahweh speaking. And if you don't listen to him, you'll be accountable to me, meaning to Yahweh. All right, this is what Moses spoke about him. Now, John 5, 18, 19. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke in the Shabbat, or the Sabbath, but he also said that Elohim was his father, making himself equal with Elohim. And Yeshua answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. What can Yeshua do on his own? Nothing. What authority does Yeshua have on his own? Nothing. John 10, 25. Yeshua answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my what? Father's name, they bear witness of me. The works I do in my Father's name, in my Father's authority. John 14, 8, 9. Philip said to him, Rabbi, Master, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Yeshua said, have I been with you so long you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now I told you that if a delegate comes to your country for a king, it's like the actual what? The king has actually shown up. Well, if Yeshua comes in the name of Yahweh, it's like literally Yahweh has shown up. You've seen Yahweh, but what he said and what he did. John 14, 10, 11. Do not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own what? I don't speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Believe that Yahweh did these things. John 14, 12 and 14. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, and of course, John, the whole gospel is based on the first few verses, right? Which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that was Messiah. So if I put in here, he who believes in me, the Word, the works that I do, he also will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Hold on to that. I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, again, we read that with the eyes we've been taught. Look at it in context as we go. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. John 16, 23 and 24. In that day, you ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you receive, that your joy may be full. 26 to 28. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me. And I believe that I came forth from Elohim, and I came forth from the Father, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Doesn't that sound like, and Yahweh spoke, and the Word went out into the world, and the world accomplished its goal, and the Word is going to what? Return back to the Father. Yeshua continues teaching through John, I am his Word. John 17, 1 through 2. Now, Yeshua at this point is going to now make a point and connection between the authority of his name compared to the authority of Yahweh. Okay? He is praying, by the way, for his disciples. Yeshua spoke these words, lifted his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has now come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh. So that means that Yahweh has given Yeshua authority and power over all what? All flesh. Well, if Yeshua is the Word, does not the Word have authority over all of creation since it kind of made it in the first place? I mean, Yahweh made it by the Word. So doesn't the Word still have authority over it because it was made through him? Now, 5 and 6. John 17, 5 and 6. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory I had when I was before the world was. What is Yeshua saying? Before the world was created, he had glory. Yeshua the person? No. Yeshua the Word. Yeshua the Word had glory before the world was made. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 7, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. 11 to 12, for I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I came to you. Holy Father, keep them through what? Your name. His prayer is that Yahweh keep his disciples through Yahweh's powerful authority and name. Those whom you have given me, they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them what? In your name, those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, which the scripture might be fulfilled. John 17, 25 and 26. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that sent you, that I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it. But the love that which you've loved me may be in them, and I in them. He has declared it, and he will declare his name. Where does Yeshua's authority come from? Okay, so we're actually getting into the last few slides. First of all, let's break up the name Yeshua. Matthew says, a son will be born to you. You shall call him what? Now let's stop trying to put in English specifically. You will call him the salvation of Yah, or God with us, right? Blessed is he who comes in the authority of Yahweh, a representative, right? But in Yeshua, you have the literal name Yah. In his name already is authority because it's from Yah. Salvation of Yah. His name already doesn't point to himself. His name already points to the reality of his Father. Now, you may be getting sick of this verse. But maybe you'll have it memorized by this week because it's the third time you've seen it. Listen to this. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in a thing which I sent it. This means that when Yahweh sends forth his word, he gives it authority to do the work it's supposed to accomplish. His word goes forth with Yahweh's authority, with Yahweh's power. Now, what does it mean to ask for something in Yeshua's name? Now, I have no doubt some of you are sitting back going, I was actually teaching to destroy that phrase completely. You can't destroy that phrase completely because the reality is we see it over and over. So what does it mean when someone says in Yeshua's name? Now, I hope I at least made you think to go, should I always end prayers this way? I hope I've at least questioned the point that you do it every single prayer. Because you see, what you're really asking for is Yahweh's will be done. When you say the phrase in Yeshua's name, with Yeshua being his word, in the authority of his word, what you're saying is, if it's your plan and your word to accomplish this, may it be done. That's what you're saying. Now, again, I have no doubt some of you are sitting back going, oh, he's destroying a plea. I can't ever use that phrase. It's demonic. No, it's not. That's why I said, hold your stones. But there should be some of those slides there that made you a little bit uncomfortable. And while that may not be the reason you use that phrase, there are many believers out there using that phrase because it's been passed down from other cultures. And they're thinking, I'm going to pray this, and I'm going to use this, and by doing it, I'm going to get what I want. We know that's not the case. How many times have we tried? But I leave you with just this one thought. Yahweh's will be done. His word always has his authority. When the word was always spoken, it will always accomplish its goal. We are all advocates in the reality that we've been discipled by Messiah. If you've read a gospel, you've been discipled by Messiah. If you are continuing to read the Gospels and the Torah and trying to understand the Torah in regard to the light of Yeshua, you are a disciple of Yeshua. You still are. So we are still going forth in his name. Because is Yeshua's job done yet? His job on the tree is done. But his job and the job given to us go forth into all nations, teaching them, discipling them. We're not done with that yet. That means that word is still out there to be fulfilled. That authority is still out there. Quick thought to end. It's hard to change. And I'm not asking anyone to change. But I am asking this, that we all realize not every prayer that's prayed has to be ending with a phrase in Yeshua's name. It doesn't need to be. Can it be? Absolutely. Because some people want that your will be done. But it doesn't have to be. And I pray too that we all go back. I can't tell you how many verses I left on the floor this morning. Looking up the word in His name from the Psalms, from Jeremiah, from Isaiah, from all the different prophets, in His name, in His name, in His name, in His name. I can't even come close. We're talking close to 100 verses I had to leave on the floor because we'd be here all day. I leave the rest of this study to you. I leave this study to you. And I know that we all go forth in the reality to study and to learn. Not so we're smarter, so we're closer to Him. We're closer to Him. Yeshua came that He would reveal to us Yahweh. And what an incredible job He did. Baruch Hashem. Now, I want you all to realize that this prayer, the reason He gave us this prayer is that Yahweh would put His name on us. His authority and power would be on us. Why? To go and finish His work. To be the light that He made us to be a light to this world and to the universe. Yevarecha Yahweh Yishmerecha. Ke Yahweh Tibendega Tibeteha. May Yahweh, may He bless you and keep you. Yahweh Panavedecha Vihunecha. Yahweh Agas to Rosh or Spend there sober to Ite or take or Torge Sumandad. May Yahweh, may His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh Panavedecha, Yisemlecha Shalom. Yahweh Muestre su Rosh or sober to Ite Concede su Paz. When Yahweh's face turns toward you, may He give you His peace. Shabbat Shalom.